free indeed. So let's just join together and worship the Lord a little more. Thank you, Jesus.
I am free.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord God Almighty, who was was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Why don't you take your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter 8. I just feel an electricity in the air today. I don't know about you. It's hard sometimes if you're tired, you might feel a little tired. But I feel the touch of the Lord in this place. Why don't you take your Bible with me and turn to the book of John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36. And then I'm going to ask Brother Tweedy to pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word. So why don't you come up here, since I have to give you this anyway. If you could stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord. It says, as he spake these words, read with me if you have it. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you have known the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at your neighbor and tell them, the truth is going to make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And with the help of the Lord today, I want to preach to you for a little while about I am free. Amen. Say, I am free. Look at your neighbor and say, I am free. Brother Tweedy, why don't you pray and ask the blessing of the Lord.
Jesus, we give you thanks and praise today, Lord God. We give you the glory and the honor. We thank you for letting us be here today, Lord, and just ask you, Lord, to continue in this service and open our hearts today, Lord, and our minds and our ears that we would hear your word today, Lord, and what it is that you want us to do, Lord. And we just pray that through it you'll draw us closer to you, Lord, and you'll just have your way in this service, Lord. And I ask you to anoint the preacher today, Lord, and let him deliver what needs to be said in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Freedom. We're blessed here. We're really blessed. And sometimes, Brother Tweedy, people like you and I that have grown up in this country don't realize exactly how blessed we are. We may look at the problems in society and say, oh, things are bad, but ain't as bad as other places, I promise you. Amen? Many in the world cry for freedom today. They cry for places. When my daughter was in Accra, it wasn't a positive thing that they would have electricity. And she was out in the country up in Tamale, and she was almost electrocuted twice because of the some problems with the way they had the shower. They don't have nice gas hot water heaters like we have in gas lines running all over the place. They have electric, and they had electric in the shower head. And twice she almost got one time would be enough for me. I don't know why you got back in there, but God put his hand on you. Amen. Many in the world cry for freedom, and they cry for a better life. And like I said, in America, we're blessed. It's the land of the free and the home of the brave, they tell us. Some would attack our freedoms today and try to take our freedoms away, and some use terrorism as an excuse to take away American freedoms. Unfortunately, I fear that will cause problems down the road as our freedoms that we hold so dear are slowly being eroded. I think it won't be too long. We will actually have to have a passport to fly on an airplane from one state to another. And I think that that's terrible to have to show my ID. But in other countries, that's a normal thing. But it's not for us. It's different. But be as it may, America is still a great land. And the freedoms that we have and the opportunities that we have are the envy and the desire of many throughout the world. I'm talking to a congregation today. Probably at least half of us are immigrants. Now, I'm not an immigrant, but my grandparents were. And they came to America for a better life. If it was so great in Italy, I don't think they would have wanted to come so bad and leave. And same thing with Norway, is where my other grandparents were from. But people want to come here, and we have good, honest, hardworking people that want to come to America that cannot and are stuck in their own countries because of one reason or another. And more than any other nation in the world, you don't see people clamoring to go to Russia. You don't see people clamoring to go to other places that are war-torn, but they want to come, many of them, to America, and if they can't come to America, then they'll go to Canada, they'll go to Europe, they'll go to other places. And the reason is, it's because of freedom and opportunity that we have in our land. Amen. America's not without problems, not in the least. It's got many problems right now. But America is still the land of opportunity. America is full of freedom still, but it is also full of sin and degradation is part of the problem that we're having today. Women are degraded daily through the sin of pornography. Children are degraded and their childhood stolen from them because of the perverseness that fills the land. Children don't have innocence like they used to have unless you really protect that child. And once they get out into the public school system, you'll find their innocence is gone. A spirit of rebellion fills our land. Some think that that spirit just came in the 60s, but really it came at the inception of the nation because the nation itself was founded upon rebellion. And it is still here with us today, and it has grown today more than it ever has before. It does seem like in the late 50s of the 19th century and into the 60s, it grew and grew, and now it's growing exponentially. But it doesn't change the word of God. Amen. There's a spirit of rebellion in the land, and if we're not careful, the spirit of rebellion will get on us. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23 tells us what, Brother Tweedy?
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
If you want to find one thing that God doesn't like witchcraft. I'm sorry. He speaks in the word of God against the monthly prognosticators. He speaks against the witches. He speaks against the horoscopes and all the rest of that stuff. And he likens rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. Go ahead.
And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
The ultimate rebellion is the rebellion against the word of God. And that spirit of rebellion is filling our land today. People rebel consistently against the word of God. Are you trying to tell me how I need to live? I'm not trying. All I'm doing is preaching the word of God. And the word of God will come to you. And as the spirit of rebellion fills this land, you will at times buck up against the word of God. But don't worry, you're not bucking up against me. It's against the word of God. Because the word says what it says, whether I say it, whether I don't say it, the word of God is still true. Amen? Rebellion has grown from a quest for freedom from tyranny to a quest from freedom from morality. And that quest from freedom from morality has brought us again to bondage. The word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. What does it tell us, Brother Tweedy?
Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
He's speaking to those that had received deliverance by the power of God. The Bible speaks in another place, and I meant to look the scripture up, but I did not look it up. It speaks, says, going back to seeing as a dog going. One of the grossest thing about a dog is if he throws up, he'll clean up. Amen. And that is disgusting to me. Yet the Bible likens going back to sin is like the dog returning to his vomit. And he says here, why do you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements? Why do you desire again to be in bondage? If God sets you free, your desire should be to stay free. Amen. I am free today. Thank God. Like that song said, I love that song, Joe. I am free. I am free. What do you want to be bound for? A common misconception today is that Jesus died on the cross to give us freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom from the white throne of judgment spoken of in the book of Revelations. Freedom from the wages of sin. You say, well, wait a second, Pastor. Doesn't the scripture tell us that in Romans 6 and 23? What does that tell us, Brother Tweedy?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, isn't that telling me, Pastor, that Jesus died on the cross to give us freedom from the penalty of sin? I hate to tell you this, but Jesus did not die on the cross just to simply give you freedom from the penalty of sin. What about our scripture that we read, our text scripture in John chapter 8? And go ahead and read that again for me, Brother Tweedy. John chapter 8, verses 33 through 36. It talks a little bit about what the Lord wants to do in our life.
They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?"
So we're proud people. We've never been a slave of anybody. How are you telling us that we need to be made free? Go ahead.
Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin.
"And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free,
you shall be free indeed. The subject here was not the freedom from the penalty of sin, but freedom from sin itself. And with the freedom from sin comes freedom from the penalty of sin. God is able to give us the victory over things that, over the sins of this life. Amen. You don't have to be bound. Somebody say praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul communicated it like this. Go ahead and read that, Brother Tweedy.
"Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body."
Let not sin therefore reign.
"That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin.
But yield yourselves to God." If you will yield yourself, and hang on right there, Brother Tweedy. If you don't know what will happen in your life if you will just yield yourself to God. You all, everybody knows the feeling. I know the feeling. God comes to you, and sometimes you've done wrong in your life, and God is saying, I want to give you power over this, and you don't yield yourself to God. You yield yourself to sin. Go ahead and read.
"As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God."
Amen. I want you to understand something today. He spoke and he said, let not sin therefore reign. The thing that reigns in your life is your king. Amen. The thing that reigns in your life is your king. How can you say that Jesus is Lord? How can you say that Jesus reigns in your life when anger and bitterness reign? How can you say that Jesus reigns in your life when every other word out of your mouth is a curse word? James said it like this in James chapter 3, verses 10 through 12.
"Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing."
Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing.
"My brethren, these things ought not so to be."
These things ought not so to be. The child of God, you shouldn't have obscene things coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and read.
"Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh."
The spirit that's inside of you will manifest itself through your mouth. If you don't have any faith, that's what's going to come out. If your life is full of darkness, that's what's going to come out. What you hear come out of the mouth is what's going to manifest itself in your life. And this is what Jesus told us. Amen? If your mouth is full of anger and your mouth is full of bitterness, if your mouth is full of malice, if your mouth is full of hate, all it's doing is showing what's inside that mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 and 11 tells us what?
And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man.
He's trying to tell them, it's not what you eat. It's not if you eat something that's not kosher, it's what comes out. Go ahead.
But that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man.
How can we say that Jesus reigns in our life when all the signs show that we need to be born again? And thank God that the Lord has given us the born again experience. A lot of people don't quite understand the born again experience, and we're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 3. And why don't you go ahead, Brother Tweedy? It starts out, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night.
A ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Okay, he comes to Jesus, pays him a compliment, and says, wow, you know, I really know that God's with you. What does Jesus do? He says, you need to be born again. How'd you like that? Go to pay somebody a compliment. Go ahead and read that.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
You see, what he's talking about here is a complete new birth experience. When you were in your mother's womb, and unless there's somebody here that was born by mechanical means, we were all born in our mother's womb. We broke the water of our mother, and we were born of the water. When the doctor slapped that baby and the breath of life came into that baby, that's the spirit. So that boy, that child is born of the water and of the spirit. He spoke to them and he said, it's not good enough just to be born once. You've got to have a new birth of water and of spirit. Go ahead.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
He's talking about a brand new life. Amen. A brand new birth of the water. A brand new birth of the Spirit. When I first came to God, I can tell you I was not a nice man. You would not believe that I'm a preacher today if you knew me back then. I promise you wouldn't believe that. But you know what? I had a born-again experience, and God changed my life. He gave me something new. A new life where no longer was I the angry, bitter person. I used to be very angry and very bitter, and my family is like that. And I have to be very careful even now as I go down in years to make sure that don't jump up on me. I don't see them. Most of them are dead anyway, but the ones that are alive, I don't see them. And for that part, I hate to say it, but I don't want to have anger and bitterness around me. I'm happy being free from that. I don't know if you've ever been overcome by anger and bitterness. My father had a brother. They got into an argument in 1952 or something like that. And they never talked until my father died in 2002. 50 years they would not talk. And my father's brother sent a letter to my mother's house after my mother had died, and wanted to kind of make things right with my father before he died. They're both dead now. But my father would not, his sister and him would have nothing to do with the brother because there's a spirit of unforgiveness that is in my family. And I'm going to tell you something, that unforgiveness will destroy your life. Because you know the person that unforgiveness hurts, it hurts you. Because you're the one that sits there at night and it gnaws at you. How could they have done this to me? How could this be? And it eats at you like a cancer inside of your life. And I found something that when I let anger and bitterness go, there's peace that comes into my life. You cannot live with anger and bitterness. It's no good for you. It causes physical ailments. Whatever the thing is that has you bound, if you will turn to the Lord in prayer. I've had some terrible things happen to me recently, as probably 7 or 8 years ago. Today, I've learned, for many years, my wife would look at me and say, she says, "Didn't you hear what they said?" I've said, "It just went over my head." But sometimes it didn't go over my head and it caught there, and I had been hurt. And I had to look at a certain man and tell him, "I forgive you." And you know what? I lied that day. I wanted to forgive him is really what it was. But God helped me to forgive that man. Today, I just feel sorry for him. But what it did was set me free. Because when you let bitterness and anger inside of you, it eats you. And it eats at your stomach and it eats at your brain. And sometimes you can't even function. Somehow you got to let it go. And the best place to let it go is at an altar of prayer. If you're not able to forgive, if you're not able to overcome, find a place to pray and do what I did. I said, "God, I can't forgive this person, but I want to forgive him. I want to let it." And the Lord answered that prayer. And today I just feel compassion. I feel sorry. But that was my life even before I came to the Lord. And what you were before you came to God will come back and try to bite you. It tried to bite me, but I did not allow it to bite me. I had been born again. God changed my life. No longer was I a druggie anymore. But God set me free from those things. Amen. And I experienced the born again experience. I was born again of the water, born again of the Spirit. There's a song that we sing. We don't sing it here, but it's choirs sing it. You must be, gotta be, must be born again. It's so important to have the born again experience in your life. Go ahead and read on.
"That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
This is why. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you want a spiritual life, you've got to be born again of the Spirit. Go ahead.
"Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again."
Don't think it's something crazy, Nicodemus. Don't marvel. You got to be born again. The wind blows
where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth.
And so are some of them that are born of the Spirit.
So is everyone.
You see, when you're born of the Spirit, there's going to be a sound that's going to accompany, just like that baby cries. I could smack old Daniel right now and he'd cry. Is he awake there? Yeah, he's awake. Let's see if I can make him cry. Hey, Danny, you want to cry a little bit?
Wah, wah.
But when that baby was born, such a precious little baby, and little David and Daniel over here, they cried. Why? They were born. There was a spirit that came. The same thing is going to happen to you when God's Spirit fills you. There's going to be a sound that comes forth. You're not going to know what it is. Because the Bible says it's like the wind. And the Bible talks about in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. Why don't you turn there for me, Brother Sweetie? Before you do that, keep your finger in John chapter 3. But turn back to Acts chapter 2, the first 4 verses.
"And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,"
they were all in one accord.
"In one place."
And suddenly
came a sound from heaven
as of a rushing mighty wind,
and it filled all the house
where they were sitting.
And there appeared unto them
cloven tongues
like as of fire,
and it sat upon, not as fire, but like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost,
and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." Go ahead and read on a little bit.
"And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven."
This was noised abroad. You see, they were not, when the power of God came down on the day of Pentecost, it was not a quiet thing. It was noised abroad. Some say that they were in the upper room or the portico of the temple that was in Jerusalem. And there began to be something come. There was such an electricity in the air in our worship today. The power of God was here in this place. And that song says, I am free to dance. We weren't that free, because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, some people dance, some people run, some people shout. We didn't feel that free today. But you know what? When something was going on that day, they didn't have microphones, they didn't have announcement, they didn't have television, they had nothing, but it was noised abroad. And people began to look at them and say they were drunk. Well, you know what? If people are looking at you as saying you're drunk, there's a reason that they're saying you're drunk. I believe that they were worshiping God that day. I believe they were singing unto the Lord. They were speaking in tongues. Some people say they were preaching in tongues. Hey, Peter didn't preach in tongues. You can read the Word of God where it says that Peter lifted up his own voice. And you can only find 16 nations listed there, but 120 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know who was there among that 120? Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are people that tell us we got to pray to her. But you don't got to pray to Mary, because she needed the Holy Ghost too. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Isn't the Word of God great? You got to understand something. When we go back, and I want to finish this in John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You know, I can get carried away and I can get sidetracked. This is why I use notes. Sometimes it drags me down, but at least I keep on track. Go ahead, read.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him.
We're back in John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10.
How can these things be?
Hey, Jesus, you know, you're telling me I got to be born again, but how can these things be? I kind of like what Jesus told him.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel?
Hey, Nick, you're a master. Don't you know this? Don't feel bad if you're seeing some things in the Word of God that you didn't know before, because even Nicodemus, a master in Israel, did not see these things. And Jesus had to show them to him. Sometimes we, though, think we're so smart, don't we? We can figure things out. Hey, I'm a pretty smart guy. I got them to let me put the air conditioning in. They grandfathered me in the city, and I'm a pretty smart guy with some things. Some things I'm pretty dumb with. And I'm not alone. Hey, you know what? Paul was dumb. You see, the Apostle Paul was dumb. Hey, Leslie, you know what? Paul was so thick-headed that the Spirit of God had to slap him outside of the head and blind him before God could talk to him. So don't feel bad. You know, if you feel like you're a little dense, I'm a little dense with some things. Don't feel bad. Paul was like that. He loved God. He served God. He did everything he knew to do. But God, I'm sure God had been talking to him. But there came a time, Brother Tweedy, that God looked at Paul and said, I've had enough. Wham! Knocked him down. And began to show him, blinded him. Put him on a fast. That ain't never happened to me. So I guess there are people that are denser than I am. So don't feel bad. God is able to do some things. But sometimes we think we're so smart, and turn to Matthew 18 and 4. We don't even really understand what the basics of the Word of God are about. And in order to come to God, we've got to do it God's way. We can't afford to do it our way. It's got to be God's way. Go ahead in Matthew 18 and 4 and go to Mark 10, 15 after that.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child.
Oh, some people got a problem with that. They got a problem with humility. You have got to humble yourself as a little child. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, we can never be a little child again and go on to Mark 10, 15. But we can humble ourselves as a little child and say, God, would you teach me?
Amen.
God, you know, some of us have gone through life. We've gone through life stubborn. We've gone through life angry. We've gone through life bitter. Isn't it time to say, God, I want to do it your way, Lord? And get rid of the stubbornness and get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the defensiveness and say, God, just let me be like a little child. Just let me be like a little child. Go ahead and read.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
We have to, it's imperative for us to receive the kingdom of God. And turn to Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10, Brother Tweedy. If you want the freedom that Jesus spoke of, he said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's imperative that you humble yourselves as a little child. A little child will allow a teacher to come in its life. We allow a pastor to come in our life. Amen. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10?
But be not ye called rabbi.
Don't be called rabbi.
For one is your master.
For one is your master.
Even Christ.
Christ is your master.
And all ye are brethren.
Your brethren.
And call no man your father upon
call
the
no
earth.
Man father.
For one is your father which is in heaven.
For one is your father which is in heaven.
Neither be called masters.
Don't be called master.
For one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
That's good right there. Some like to be called rabbi, some like to be called father, some like to be called master, but the word of God tells us that I'm not to take that title. Don't call me rabbi. Don't call me father. Don't call me master, but you can call me pastor. Jesus said, no man should take these titles, yet the word of God tells us that there is a ministry of a pastor. In the book of Jeremiah, 7 times pastors are spoken of, but it just like today, he condemned them 6 times. If you look into the religious world today, there are problems that abound. It's not in the United States. It's all over the world. But in Jeremiah, he spoke of pastors that sin against him. He spoke of pastors that scatter the flock. It's pastors that become brutish. Pastors that destroy the vineyard. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8, he spoke of the prophets with the spirit of Balaam. What was the spirit of Balaam? You say, well, Balaam cursed Israel. I think it's a little bit deeper than that. Balaam never had a prayer life of his own. Balaam, you can't find anywhere except one prayer where Balaam prayed and God said no. You can't find anywhere where Balaam was down like Elijah, where Balaam was down like David, where he was praying and he was seeking God. He would let somebody else offer the sacrifice. He would let somebody else do the praying, but he never did it for himself. That's the spirit of Balaam. Let somebody else get a hold of God. You get a hold of God for me, and I'll take care of it from you. You can't have that. Not even in our own lives. We have got to have a relationship with God. Don't let the spirit of Balaam be upon you. The spirit of somebody else is going to do the work and I'm just going to kind of ride along on the blessing. Don't do that. Yet in all the midst of the condemnation in the book of Jeremiah, if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 5, he said that I'm going to give you pastors that are going to feed you with knowledge. I'm going to give you pastors that are going to feed you with understanding. In Ephesians chapter 4, he spoke of the pastors that are part of your building up and edification. Your pastor is here to feed you with knowledge. He's here to feed you with understanding. He's here to help edify you and to build you up to your full potential in Jesus Christ and to help you be free and help you stay free. Amen. Through the preaching of the word of God, you can hear things that you say, I need to go to a different direction. I need to walk with God a little bit more because I don't want to go again to the beggarly elements. Once again, Brother Tweedy, I have got to stay free. Jesus Christ has taken me. He set me upon a rock. He set me upon a hill. I don't want to go back to the sin and degradation. The word of God tells us that you set my feet upon, you took me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. I don't want to go back anymore to the miry clay. I want to stay on the rock. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't that good? That's the ministry of the pastor. I want to tell you how to begin that road for freedom. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I just start reading it, Brother Tweedy.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
We need deliverance from sin. He said, God forbid.
How shall we that are dead in sin
live any longer therein?
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
See, I'm going to teach you something, a little something about baptism today. Baptism is, you know, some people say, well, it's just a ritual or so on, but we're getting baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
Buried with him. When I took Sergio, buried him in the name of the Lord. It was a burial we did last week. Amen. Amen. He wasn't down there too long. If I held him down, he'd kind of get a little nervous. So it was kind of quick, but it was a burial nonetheless. That's why we baptize incompletely in immersion, is because it's a burial. When you take people to the graveyard and you put them in the grave, you don't want to just throw a little dirt on them. You want to bury the whole thing. Go ahead.
By baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
we also should walk in newness of life. It's the will of God. When you go down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, you rise up to walk in a new life. He wants a Phil, go ahead and read on. I'll let you go there a little bit.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also
be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
And henceforth, we should not serve sin, because when you go down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, the chains of sin are broken. If you sin after, it's because you want to. It's not because you... If you before that, now you could say, the devil made me do that. Hey, Brother Pavano, when you were a kid, did you ever listen to Flip Wilson? He used to do like this. Yeah, the devil made me do it. Remember that? That was so funny. He was right. But when you go down... Come on.
Can you shout?
Oops. No, he's trying to spit up. Forget that. But... when you go down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, the only thing that stands, nobody can make you sin at that point. It's your desire. And that's when you go down in the name of the Lord, you've got to change your ways. You've got to change your life. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. You say, let God fill me with the Holy Ghost. Sure, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Is Jericho in Sunday school? I want to give somebody a gift here. And the kids would be great for this. Go get... who wants a gift? Okay, Sergio? You're not going to get it unless I give it to you. But if I give it to you, you have to receive it. When he talks about God filling you with the Holy Ghost... Boy, I'm glad I didn't give him a $100 bill. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you just got to run up and grab it. Because he said, here it is. 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 So many people sit there and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Just give it to me. You got to run up like Sergio did and say, hey, this is what I want, and get disappointed when you don't get it. When it's there, you're just going to go back and get it again. Because it talks about the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not something God holds over your head. The Holy Ghost is something he gives you for power. Amen? And the Bible tells us that it's free and that it's for you. The Bible talks about in the book of Joel, in the last day, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, it tells us a new spirit I'm going to give you, a new heart I'm going to put in you. He knows that when you go down in the waters of baptism, that's not enough alone. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're going to walk in the newness of life, if you're going to have some anointing in your life, you've got to put on Christ. You've got to be filled with his Spirit, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when the Bible talks about the wind blows where it wants to. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the day of Pentecost when they're all in one accord, one place. Suddenly there came a sound out of heaven. Out of a rushing mighty wind that it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with others. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, he takes that most unruly thing. Remember what we said? It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles you. He takes that thing that's unruly, that thing that speaks evil, and he makes it speak good for him. Talking about freedom today. Praise God. How about you? Is there anybody that wants to be free today? Joe, where are you? Go get them. Somebody go get them. Becky, why don't you come? I am free. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. To reach out for that freedom from the Lord. And then, like I said, we're going to close up shop. We're going to go to my house. We're going to have a baptism. We'll throw a few burgers and some hot dogs on the grill, some salad. I'm getting hungry. Anybody else hungry? Did you bring any beef patties? I love beef patties. Ooh. But you know what? Of all things, I want to be free. I want to be free. Where is he? He's back there somewhere. Come on, Joe. Get up here. He knew I was going to do this. I am free. I am free. Praise God. If there's anybody that wants to be set free today, why don't you come and just let's all just stand. Maybe you can gather around the front and begin to pray and begin to talk to the Lord. Find yourself a place with God and begin to worship Him. And say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done, Lord. I want to be free, God. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be baptized in your name. I want to be filled with the power of God in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
am free to run.
I am free to run.
Thank you, Jesus. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free. Sing it like you mean it. I am free to run.
I am free.
Do you believe that today?
Run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, God, you are.